Welcome to Fronteras, a changing America. I'm Edmundo Resendez. This week on Fronteras, we present our monthly segment, That's What I'm Talking About. The goal of That's What I'm Talking About is to talk to your friends and neighbors, everyday people, to find out what they are talking about in their community. The topics can range from politics to the everyday minutiae of life. Let's meet our guest this week.
Well, my name is Steve Chavita, and I am a professional business coach. My company is called Success Incorporated. And Success Incorporated is a small business consultancy, and I work with small business owners to help them realize the dreams that they had when they first set out on their path to entrepreneurship. That's my passion job, my bread and butter job. I am the managing director of the Las Cruces Home Builders Association.
I'm Kathleen Murphy, and I am the owner of Wild Horse Design, which is a graphic design and marketing company. And I also am the owner of Driftwood Productions, which is a theater production company housed at the historic Rio Grande Theater. We just started with our first show in June, very successful. It was called Nunset Boulevard, and we're getting ready for our second show, The Bells of Old Mesilla, which opens September 14th.
The topic this month of That's What I'm Talking About is motivation. What motivates you, and what gets you going through your day as part of what you do for a living? And Steve, I'm going to start with you. As somebody who is a professional business coach, how do you go about motivating and coaching the businesses that you go with to get them to get over that hump?
Well, it's interesting that you ask me that, because I am a motivational speaker as well, and that's one of the things that I love to do. But the reason I do what I do is because I'm driven and I'm motivated by watching people be successful. One of the early taglines that I had when I started my company was that your success is my passion. And what that means essentially is that when I can help you be successful in whatever it is that you're doing, if I'm a sales coach and I watch you learn the art of sales and be better at it, or if I'm coaching you in public speaking and I watch you develop that skill to be a better public speaker, that success motivates me. And when I start to see what you're doing better, I get better at what I do, and it propels me. So it's kind of a symbiotic relationship.
Kathleen, what motivated you to start your business, to go out on your own?
I think it was self-direction. I wanted to be able to affect my life. I found myself waiting and trying to gain favor, you know, with the higher-ups in my corporation or at a university, you know, to try and make progress as far as more salary, more responsibility, and to achieve. And I have pretty much devoted 32 years to playing by all that game, and I never got anywhere, really.
Okay, let me understand this correctly. After 32 years, mm-hmm. you decided you wanted to go out on your own.
Yes.
So let me ask you that question again. I guess the question really isn't what motivated you, but what possessed you to do this during this, quote, tough economic times.
And it's okay to say the devil made me do it.
Yeah, really. The devil did make me do it. Well, you know, I think it had been in my mind for many years. And I had started my business part-time and was working on that. And I reached a point where I had more work to do in the time available in my spare time than I had time to do. And then there was a straw that broke the camel's back moment at work where I just said, you know what? I'm done here.
Sure.
I'm finished. And I'm going to do my business full-time. And then I made myself think about it for 2 hours over lunch. I thought, okay, make sure you're not just, you know, being having a frivolous moment and, you know, just flying off the handle. And I thought, no, I'm ready. That's what it is. I just realized. It took that for me to realize that I was ready. And so I just went forward. I put the fear away. I said, I can't afford to be fearful. I have to. If other people can do it, I can do it. And so I'm going to do it. And that was it.
Steve, as you work with a number of small businesses or businesses of different sizes, how similar is this story to the businesses that you work with?
Well, it's extremely similar because, and again, I focus on small business owners, and I talk about the passion that they have. There are a lot of people out there who are entrepreneurs, and there are those people that want to be. They're called dreamtrepreneurs. But essentially, they're, you know, to have a small business owner who wants to do this, they have this passion, but they're afraid to jump out and do it. It is taking a leap when you go into starting your own business, but they're afraid to do it because that means they're going to leave the confines of a secure paycheck, a secure business structure, the brick and mortar of what a business has. Mm-hmm. And when you go into entrepreneurship, you're basically responsible for all that on your own. And most small business owners have that same exact fear, and it's a big issue for us.
That's the biggest issue. Yeah. Is the fear, overcoming the fear. And then you also have well-meaning people in your life who are saying, gee, you really think you should do that? I mean, yeah. You know, you've got a child, and you know, you start hearing the negativity from mm-hmm. other people, and they mean well. It's just they don't understand what it means to be an entrepreneur.
Those are the dream stealers.
Those are the dream stealers. Yeah.
So what motivates you to continue doing what you're doing?
Well, different things. Now it's the deadlines that I have. So I get up in the morning and I'm, you know, raring to go to meet some deadlines. When I first started, when I first was doing this full time, I kind of had a superhero idea in my mind, in that I know that there are clients out there who need my help.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out cold and just went to people's businesses and said, you know, I'm a graphic designer and this is my work and I want to be your graphic designer. And so I went to people that I didn't even know. I went through drive-thrus to get a burrito. That's how I got Miguel's as a client. I went through the drive-thru and I said, do you guys happen to need a graphic designer? And it happened to be the owner who answered the window. And he said, you know, actually we do. Can you come in right now? So it was just being ready to tell anybody and everybody that I am a graphic designer and I'm ready to do work for you.
Talk to me, Steve, about how some of these business owners, what is their biggest challenge that they have when they start a business, you know, year one? And, you know, it sounds like, you know, with Kathleen is saying is that you went all out and started talking to anybody you could talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the challenges that you see from some of these businesses?
Sure. Lack of confidence is one of the big challenges that they have. But there's a thing that I learned from one of my first mentor coaches when I started in the business, and that was, you know, you've got to, as a business owner, you've got to realize that you need to know what it is that you don't know. And as a business owner, a lot of times we think, oh, we've got to know everything. I've got to know all my accounting. I've got to know everything about how to do a mail merge. I got to know everything about my online presence. I've got to know everything about everything that what I do. Well, most of us have a passion, and that's what we know. We know the one thing that it is. If I'm a woodworker, I know how to make furniture the best that I can, but I don't know how to market it. I don't know how to sell it. I don't know how to network and get people to know what I'm doing. And just like Kathleen says, how to tell people who you are and what you do, that's a challenge. You expect that you're going to, you know, this is my, I can make this furniture, but how do I get people in to know me? So developing that confidence and the understanding that there are other small business owners who know what you don't know, you've got to work with them and find them to help you get what you got to do. Small business ownership is all about collaboration. You know, I'm not the marketer. I know marketing, but I'm not the graphic designer. So I'm not going to create my own, you know, logos and stuff like that. That's where you go to the experts who know what they know how to do. Motivation, you know, Kathleen needs to be motivated. So, you know, I work with her to motivate. But it's, you just go to people who are experts in what you need an expert in and let them help you with their expertise.
Steve Chavita and Kathleen Murphy are our guests today on That's What I'm Talking About. Steve, how, as you go about your day and, mm-hmm. you know, working with small businesses, how many times do you see some businesses that undervalue their work?
A lot. And again, I talked about how that confidence level that business owners have, and we tend to undervalue our businesses because we don't have the confidence in what it is that we do. And the reality is that a graphic designer in Las Cruces, New Mexico, designing a logo for the Salsa Fest, does the exact same thing that a graphic designer at Saatchi & Saatchi in Chicago did for General Mills. They designed a logo, and they designed an identity for a company. And the work that you're doing is important. We, as small business owners, we undervalue ourselves because we think that we're just, you know, we're not on the same level as the big guys. But the work you're doing is even more important because you're providing local jobs. You're providing local economy impact. And we do that a lot. And we do it because we're afraid to get into the marketplace. We think that, well, we've just got to get new clients and we've got to do that. But you have to realize that what you're doing is a valuable service to the people that need it. And adding that value and the price that goes with it is important to bring people on board.
Kathleen, in your line of work, do some of these businesses put a value on what you do and say, well, geez, you know what, this is how much I want to pay you? And, you know, does that pay the bills and does that, you know, keep you motivated to continue to work for them?
No. Well, I have to qualify that. Usually when I get a new client, I offer them a deal. You know, I'll say, you know what, I'd like for you to try my services, and I would like to do this job for you for a much lower amount than I normally charge. And if you want to continue to use me, this is my rate. And they seem to accept that pretty well. There are some businesses that'll say, you know, I really can't pay you that, I'll pay you this. And really, I learned, and this is through Steve too, to not undervalue myself. I've had to say, well, you know, I just really can't afford to spend my time doing this job for that low amount of money. Mm-hmm. Because it's costing me money. And that's okay. You've got to be able to be okay in letting some jobs go.
Sure.
And so obviously, you know, again, and that's brave. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, again, and seeing business people in this community, I see them as saying, you know what, I need the jobs. But how do you, Steve, get them to, you know, as Kathleen just said, you know, just walk away knowing that something might come along?
Well, you always have to have the big picture in mind. And you're looking at a job and you're looking at somebody who's right in front of you and thinking, okay, this XYZ company, I need that business. And you very well could need that business. But you've got to be confident enough to understand that there's always a bigger fish. And something could happen tomorrow or on your way home today that says, oh, this company needs my services and they call me. And if you're tied up with that small fish, you may not be able to you know, reel in the big fish. Confidence is the key, and understanding that today's not the end of the world. There's going to be business tomorrow. It's a law of averages. I look at it as a business coach and think, I would love to have 100% of the market share. If every small business owner in this community who needs my service would come to me and say, Steve, I want you as my business coach, I would think that would be great. I could not provide service to 100% of the market. And there are plenty of people out there that are qualified to do what I do, but they do it in a different way than I do. So what do I need to do to have a sustainable business and a viable company that will keep me happy, keep my bills paid, and help me be proud of the work that I do? And that's what you got to work towards. So you can't, you don't want to get every single customer. Not every customer is right for you. And that's where walking away is important. If you have to walk away and say, I realize that, you know, we don't mesh in this situation, at another point, that person may say, well, I really like Kathleen, and so I'll call her back. Or you may find somebody that you mesh better with that says, oh, I'm glad I didn't take on that client.
How long have you been a business coach?
I've been a business coach for 8 years now, and I've been doing it since 2004. And I say as an active practice business coach, I've actually been coaching people since I've been in my career in sales, and you know, for 25 years.
Okay, so let's touch upon that.
Okay,
what differences do you see from perhaps 25 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, to today? You know, 2012. You know, what do you see from businesses? What are their needs? What kind of things do you tell them are they looking for so they can be motivated?
Well, 25 years ago, there was a movement on in our country that was called the Total Quality Movement. It was, you know, the Six Sigma that the big auto companies bought into, and it was taking the quality approach to everything that you did, and it was based on the Japanese style of customer service management, and basically giving quality to the customer so the customer was happy. And spending a lot of money towards going to that. And so in those days, companies spent thousands and thousands of dollars to bring somebody in to teach their company about quality and how to provide a quality management tool. Flash forward to now, where the world of entrepreneurship has grown, and the number of people that are actually, I mean, our country is driven by entrepreneurship. 90% of the businesses that are out there are small businesses. Mm-hmm. And so that level of money, the operating cash flow that we have as business owners has shrunk a lot. And the big corporate Six Sigma management issues are not there anymore. They don't do that. They want to go to a smaller approach. But that means they want to spend less money on it. Well, being, you know, today you've got to be able to provide that value at the amount of money that they want to spend to give them the results that they're looking for and be the right fit for that. And it's all about meeting their budgets, meeting their needs, offering the value. And I mean, just the way the mindset of the corporate world has shifted in the last 25 years has really been the key, if that makes sense.
And Kathleen, you know, now you've been in business, you know, working professionally for almost coming up on 35 plus years.
Right.
What do you see in your line of work as a graphic designer from the needs of what people are looking for? Are people getting thriftier? Or are they willing to pay more for the services that somebody in your line of work offers?
It depends on the business owner. I have a client who recognizes the value of my what I charge for my services and utilizes me all the time, and their business is struggling, but they understand that the marketing that I offer and the, you know, the services that I provide are valuable to them and have been proven to be very valuable to them. Some businesses that are just starting off, they're afraid to spend money. They've already maybe invested a lot of money in startup costs, so they're trying to just, you know, be really careful about the money they spend. So I just see a wide variance in different businesses. Different businesses have different ideas about marketing and how to grow their businesses. So I see it all.
Mm-hmm. As a business coach who motivates and, you know, a motivational speaker, how do you motivate yourself?
I motivate myself I do a lot of personal self-development, a lot of reading of motivational books. I have a business coach that I work with, but I watch my market and watch my clients, and I see kind of what they're doing. And I motivate myself by trying to be, to remain upbeat and positive, understanding that it's a dog-eat-dog world and most of us are wearing milk-bone underwear. So we've got to be able to make sure that we're staying ahead of the pack every chance we can. But being positive, there are things that are going to get you down out there. And I deal with the same issues that Kathleen deals with, that you deal with, that every small business owner out there deals with. But if I try to maintain my own motivation by keeping my skills up, reading, understanding, taking life, like a duck on water, letting it roll off my back, it is all good. And motivation is the key.
Do you think, either one of you can answer this, do you think that in this day and age, that when somebody says in these economic times, that they're using that as a way to not motivate themselves, to make excuses for why things may be difficult?
Yes.
I agree.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is one of the things that drives me as well. All four of my grandparents were immigrants to this country. My maternal grandparents came from Ireland to escape religious persecution and basically, you know, just a dead economy. And my other grandparents came from behind the Iron Curtain, under socialism, communism, where there was no freedom. You couldn't start a business. You were in your lot in life, and you could never hope to crawl out of it. So, but when they came to America and the freedoms that are offered here, they recognized the freedoms that are here, and they jumped full force into the American system of working hard, building a business, and being successful, because they knew all they needed was freedom and hard work, and they can make it. So that inspires me and gets me motivated every day to know that they made, my grandmother was a 19-year-old woman by herself coming across the ocean in 1912 to come to America to pursue a dream. And I carry that with me as a, to honor them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get up in the morning to do my business, you know, I have a thought of them in my heart and my mind that I'm not going to waste the opportunity that they worked so hard to come here to America to try and make a better life for their children, grandchildren.
Sure. And I agree with that. I think that that's, to a certain extent, people make excuses for the way things are. And when you say in these economic times, mm-hmm. that gives them the opportunity to say, if I'm not as successful as I would like to be, it's because of these economic times. Mm-hmm. But it's the motivation, and I agree with Kathleen in that you take what has brought you to this point and use it for your own motivation. My grandfather, on my mother's side, my grandfather was a lieutenant colonel in the Mexican Army at the beginning of the last century, and saw things that were going on and took, he was well educated and had a strong position in his life, and gave that all up, took his family and my grandmother's family, and brought them to the United States from Mexico, and essentially started off as nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In entrepreneurship, started a small general store, and basically took that position that I'm in a better place now, and used that as his motivation, and raised 17 kids, and really did brought them all up to be strong contributors to our society. But if we don't take those things that our ancestors have brought in, or that the people that helped us with these freedoms in our country and propel ourselves forward, or use those advantages, you know, we're doing them as well as ourselves a disservice. But it's easy to make excuses because we see things and we think, well, that's just the way it is. And in some cases, that's fine. But, you know, using these tough economic times is not always a good excuse.
You can choose to not take part in the recession, and you make your own success.
Right.
Kathleen?
Yes.
Murphy? Steve Chavita? Thank you very much for coming in and being part of That's What I'm Talking About.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
So, what is it that motivates you? For Steve Chavita, his motivation is to help others succeed in life, both personally and professionally. Kathleen Murphy is motivated, driven, if you will, to succeed as a way to pay back and honor the hard work and efforts of her family that came before her. And of course, both will agree that money, too, is a motivation. See, what I'm talking about, and can admit to, is that I've had some ups and downs in my career. And on more than one occasion, it took a lot more than just motivation just to get me out of bed to go to a job I didn't like. Bills were the motivation during those times. But like Kathleen and Steve, I too feel the need to succeed to honor family and friends who have helped pave the way. These days, my motivation also comes in the form of my ever-patient wife and two beautiful daughters. Yet, sometimes, the motivation is not to fail or to prove somebody wrong. A high sense of pride or stubbornness, if you will. But that's another topic for another show of That's What I'm Talking About on KRWG Las Cruces.